Keenan with Applied Survey Research, which is a community-based nonprofit. So I'm going to be discussing the use of state school-based data to evaluate and sustain programs. So I have nothing to disclose in terms of financial relationships. Just to give you a little background, the project and work that I'm going to be discussing today happened in Santa Cruz County in California, which is about an hour and a half south of San Francisco on the Monterey Bay. Santa Cruz is famous as a beach surfing area, also known for partying. The southern part of Santa Cruz County has traditionally had higher rates of alcohol and other drug use, as well as violence. Specifically, the program and district I'm going to be discussing, it was in Pajaro Valley Unified School District, PVUSD, which is in the southern part of the county. Data has shown that schools have some of the lowest API third grade reading scores and highest dropout rates in California. PVUSD provides K-12 education to about 19,000 students, the majority of whom are Latino, about 80%, and from very low income families. So, in 2005, the district applied for and was awarded a Safe Schools, Healthy Students grant, which was awarded by the United States Department of Education. So some of the grant objectives, which began in 2006 to provide services within the district, it was a comprehensive initiative, Safe Schools, Healthy Students, to increase student assets and resilience, promote mental health, enhance academic achievement, prevent violence and substance abuse, and create safe and respectful climates within the schools. So again, this was very comprehensive, so that's a lot of words to say. There are lots and lots of programs in the schools, such as counselors, violence prevention curricula, such as a bullying prevention curricula throughout the district, alcohol and drug prevention curricula, partnerships with probation, partnerships with the volunteer center to link students up with mentoring and community service, programs for parents, et cetera, et cetera. So really the focus of Safe Schools, Healthy Students was a systems approach, district-wide, really trying to change the environment within the school, build connections, and build partnerships, just to give you that background. We did some network analysis to look at the programs, and essentially, of course, a few exceptions may exist, but every single student in the district was served at some level, at least some level, through this program. So, Applied Survey Research was hired as the independent local evaluator for the project, the initiative. And just like it was a big program, it was a big evaluation with multiple data sources. We used program parent and student telephone surveys, district databases, so looking at behavior referrals, attendance, that sort of thing. Of course, process measures to track who is in programs, as well as individual level evaluations for each program, which included surveys, as well as linking to those district data wherever possible. And then the California Healthy Kids Survey, which is kind of going to be the focus of what I'm going to discuss right now. So the California Healthy Kids Survey is a statewide survey in California, kind of pulling from the YRBS, which is the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. And it's administered every 2 years normally. Throughout the grant, it was administered every year among 5th, 7th, 9th, and 11th graders. Throughout the grant, we really worked to increase response rates so that we had some really good quality data. PVUSD actually had already quite good response rates, but we did a lot of work to increase those even further. CHICS contains questions, the California Healthy Kids contains questions, not only on risk behaviors, alcohol and drug use, violence, as well as health. Did you eat breakfast that morning? That sort of question. But also contains questions that come from the Search Institute's 40 developmental assets on external assets, so connectedness, resilience, those kinds of questions. So I'm going to just show data that is from 9th and 11th grade. We saw similar trends in 7th and 5th grade, but just for simplicity, I'm going to focus on the high school students. Also, to orient you to the charts, they're always going to show 2005, which was the year right prior to implementation of the programs, and then 2009, which was the final year of the program. So this chart, I'm just going to show some a quick couple charts on the big program outcomes that we were looking at. And again, this is using California Healthy Kids data. So here is the students who reported any alcohol or other drug use in the past 30 days. So we're seeing some basically no change with ninth graders, but some good change with the 11th graders. When we disaggregated this by type of drugs, so alcohol, marijuana, and then other drugs, we saw really good changes with alcohol in both 9th and 11th graders, and then marijuana, not so much. In our county, we have really high rates of marijuana use, look the other way policies, and we're sort of seeing those 9th graders and also 7th graders seeing some not so great trends with marijuana in those transition grades. So just to give you more background there. But we are seeing sort of the start of some positive change, at least with some of the alcohol and drug use in our county or in the district. Then also looking at safety and violence. So here is the percentage of students who felt safe at school. Again, seeing positive changes both in those both grades here. We also saw the similar thing when we looked at bullying and physical fighting. So again, we're seeing some positive movement. Mental health, so this was symptomatic depression. The question specifically asked about being sad or hopeless every day for 2 weeks. So getting at that sort of definition of symptomatic depression. So here, again, ninth grade, not seeing the hugest of change, but what was actually exciting about this is every year prior to the grant, these numbers in all grades were increasing. So we're really seeing at least something happening. And then finally, looking at resilience. So this is the percentage of students who had a high level of school connectedness. So we define that as sort of these grouping of questions, which were, I feel close to people at school, happy to be at this school, part of this school, those types of questions, and really seeing some positive change here. So wanting to go further, looking at these developmental assets is gonna, what I'm going to talk about next. This slide is just to show that, like I said, we did a lot of data collection, and one of which being parent surveys. And so we were able to sort of triangulate some of that data, looking at seeing some similar trends in perception from parents. Fewer parents thought that alcohol and drug were a problem at their child's school. Fewer parents thought bullying and physical violence were a problem. So just sort of seeing some overall community movement, as well as reported behaviors by the students. So, like I said, we were seeing some change within that resilience piece. Sort of the biggest change we were seeing were those connectedness. So we wanted to know more. In our theory of change, it would follow what we would expect to happen, first building sort of these relationships, so we would expect behavior to follow and maybe not be as extreme yet, but we wanted to explore further that relationship. So what we did was take those asset questions from the California Healthy Kids Survey, which, like I said, are pulled from the Search Institute's research and questions they've developed on external student assets. We conducted a factor analysis. We already knew they hung together because that's what they're supposed to do, but just for due diligence, we created our own factor analysis to see how those groups of questions group together. So the factors that we saw were caring adults, adults with high expectations, and then meaningful participation in the school and community. So based on those factors, then we created, or we ran a cluster analysis. So that's used to draw rich portraits of different groups of people by dissecting a heterogeneous group into more homogeneous groups. And what we saw through that analysis, sort of playing around, we saw three groups emerge, and I'll talk about those in a moment. Actually, I'll talk about them right now. So what we saw were low asset, mixed or medium asset group, and a high asset group. So what the low asset group meant essentially was low empowerment at school, not involved in activities in or out of school, not having those caring relationships with adults, and then the high asset group essentially being the exact opposite, having connectedness with school. So we were able to then sort of create that algorithm and apply those same criteria. So we created the cluster based on that 2005 data, so prior to the grant, and then used those same criteria, looked at 2009, so after sort of in that final year of the grant services. And we were able to see some movement. So we saw that fewer students were in the low asset group, more students in the high asset group. So we know something, again, something's going on. We're exploring further and further. Looking at the medium group, not seeing a whole lot of change, but that 2%, we did actually see that they're going into that high asset group. So we're seeing some positive change over time. So just to give you an idea of who and what the behavior, so again, trying to look at then that interaction of behavior and this connectedness or asset resilience piece. So our low asset group had more alcohol and drug use, were more extreme users as well, also had less perception of harm than the higher asset group. They're also less likely to talk to their parents about the harm of alcohol and drugs. Looking at safety and violence, low asset group more likely to report gang affiliation and physical violence. High asset group felt safer on campus, and then low asset group had were less disapproving of weapons, bringing weapons to school, and more likely to report bringing guns and other weapons to school. Again, looking at the mental health, so we're seeing low asset group more likely to report symptomatic depression. So again, this was really an exploratory analysis to see what was going on, see the interaction between asset and behavior. But then we really needed to translate this into action. So you know, it makes sense in our theory of change, it makes sense in the literature. We know that connectedness does have an influence on behavior. But so anyways, we have all this data, we need to act. So one just small case example of sort of an area in which we use data to action, we know students in that low asset group reporting higher less levels of risk behavior, reporting lower levels of community connectedness. We also, in PVUSD, had really high rates of expulsion, suspension, specifically related to knives on campus. Thank you. And the school, PVUSD, did not have the capacity to follow up with expelled students and to ensure that they met requirements. Also with language barriers and reading proficiency, many of the students and families were unable to complete that expulsion process. So we knew we had a problem here. Kids basically just, you know, being left out, not being able to get back into the school. So know we needed some policy change here, some tailored services, case management, and mentoring. So we worked a lot with the school district, and the Department of Student Services to develop a tailored program for students who had been expelled. So the program staff works with those students and their families to help them not only understand the process so that they can get through, meet those requirements, and be readmitted into the district, but to give mentoring, tutoring, again, increase that sort of asset piece, really helping those students. So just one sort of small example. Looking at lessons learned and next steps, really the critical component for this project and what we found was that just the essential success of the project was based on using data to make decisions and sharing those evaluation findings with all of the stakeholders. So you can see on your right that we created a community report in order to disseminate findings not only to the school board and school personnel, but throughout the community, really, again, creating those partnerships and community connections. So it was just a simple four-page report that had the key community outcomes that was disseminated. So it was just a really key component. And funding has come to an end, but through data, 80% of the programs have been sustained, which has been amazing. We're really strategic in the way they sustain programs, and we as evaluators came to every single meeting of each group for violence, you know, alcohol and drugs, anyways, provided data tailored to those types of issues that were going on. What are the successes? What are the needs and gaps? How do we sustain those programs? So it's just been really exciting about that. The specific program I told you about has been sustained through another grant, and they're actually also pursuing funding to expand those services to not just work with students who were expelled or suspended, but those who are at risk. So again, trying to move towards prevention and early intervention. And California Healthy Kids is perhaps going away in California, at least most of it. I think the alcohol and drug component might stay. But so the district is trying to pursue funding to continue that so they can monitor that success. So hopefully success. So thank you very much.
So I think we have time for one or two. Okay. Isn't that, the low assets makes sense? I know that the mixed assets didn't change, but are you finding that's because the low assets will maybe be mixed assets?
We did have some of that, we tracked that, and some did just totally bypass, but a lot did go into that group. And so that is, I didn't mention that, but that is one area that we want to look at more, is sort of developing more of that rich portrait of who each of those groups is. So of course we know their demographics and that sort of thing, but to be able to tailor services and outreach specifically to certain groups and to follow up also with that mixed asset group. I should also mention that what distinguished them was not from the high asset group was not having meaningful participation in school or the community. So that was the big factor for them. So again, just trying to figure that piece out a little bit more of how do we kind of find out who they are and tailor services. All right, thank you very much.